I'm talking today with Associate Professor Paul Wright, who is a toxicologist and is also head of the Nanosafety Research Group here at RMIT. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Thanks, Kate.
Talk to me about nanotechnology and sunscreen. How is it involved? Is it safe? Are we right to be scared silly of it or not?
Oh, they're all very interesting questions, so I'll take it step by step.
Go for it.
First of all, nanoparticles are very small particles, and they range between 1 and 100 nanometers in diameter, so about a thousandth the thickness of your hair, so very, very small. And we know that if you put in zinc oxide, that, like in sunscreens, at that very small size, they become transparent. But right. they're still opaque to ultraviolet rays.
How does that improve sunscreen?
Well, the interesting thing about it is that sunscreen now containing zinc oxide nanoparticles can rub on clear but still protect you against ultraviolet rays. They're actually more efficient per weight basis than the big bulk particles in scattering and absorbing the UV light. So they are a better material. You could potentially use less of it. Already, zinc oxide was better than some of the other sunscreen materials because metal oxides like zinc oxide, they don't break down under ultraviolet light. Some of the organic chemical sunscreen filters actually break down, and some of them can turn into allergens for certain people. Humans are a highly allergic species, so for some people, it's difficult to use sunscreens that don't contain metal oxides. So that's why zinc oxide is quite a good sunscreen for those people, and also for children with very sensitive skin.
So why are we so wary of nanotechnology? I mean, there are other economies in the world, for example, that embrace it, live off it, are booming because of it. Why are we so kind of wary of it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because I actually coordinate Asia Nanosafe, a regional research network. And in the Asian community, particularly in Southeast Asia, nanotechnology is seen as a big plus. In fact, you can charge more for a product that has a nano label on it. And so four economies in the Asian region have instituted a nanomark labeling system,
right.
Meaning that you need evidence to be able to claim this extra ability and charge more money. So they see it as a positive thing. Whereas in Australia, there's been more a focus on possibly the risks more than the benefits of these materials. Now, as a toxicologist, I like to see a balanced argument of both the risks and the benefits rather than focusing on just one or the other. And it turns out that there are so many different nanomaterials that are being developed and studied, and they don't all behave the same. They're very different, and they also don't have the same biological activity. So you can't say all nanomaterials are bad, or you can't say all nanomaterials are good. You actually have to know more about the nanomaterial and how it's going to be used before you can say and do a proper risk assessment. Is it going to present any potential risk to the user?
Right. And are we good at transmitting that message to consumers in Australia?
Well, I think with regards to sunscreen, that's been an issue that was raised because a few years ago it was noticed that tradies who were putting up painted metal surfaces on roofing materials and were using nanoparticle sunscreens, mainly titanium dioxide ones, left their fingerprints on the roofing material. And in the hot Australian sun and many months of UV light, that bleached the painted surface of the product, and that voided their lifetime guarantee. So the producers of those building materials put out a warning that if you're going to use these materials, don't have the nano sunscreen on your fingers after you've applied it. And from that stemmed a concern in the general community that if it does that to roofing materials, imagine what it does to your skin.
It's like the Coca-Cola in the chalk ad.
Is that right? It gets in. yes, Mrs. March. So the problem here, though, is that, of course, when you use sunscreen, they're formulated to stay on the surface of the skin. And the surface of our skin is a dead layer of skin cells that's part of our natural waterproofing. So, in fact, the nanoparticles have a great trouble getting in. Very little gets through that dead layer. And we shed these dead cells constantly, millions of cells a day. And so, in fact, it's a totally different exposure scenario. The other thing that's important to realize is that the nano sunscreens themselves, they protect you against the ultraviolet rays that are coming through. And so there was another concern that nanoparticles might increase, because they're very photoactive, some of them, they could increase the number of oxygen radicals on your skin. But we've done the studies, and it turns out that the nanoparticles in the sunscreen actually reduce the amount of free radicals caused by ultraviolet A radiation. Now, ultraviolet A radiation is what most of the UV light coming through our atmosphere is. It's about 95%. It's a lower energy, but it actually penetrates further into our skin. The ultraviolet radiation that gives you the redness and swelling, etc., that is UVB, and that's only 5% of the ultraviolet radiation. That penetrates very little, but it's just the right energy to directly damage the DNA in skin cells that it can touch. So you can see that it's important that we actually do protect our skin against both UVA and UVB. And so it's best to use a very stable, broad spectrum sunscreen. And zinc oxide nanoparticle sunscreen fits that bill. If you have a highly allergic situation and your skin's very sensitive, then use the metal oxide sunscreens with the nanoparticles in them. In the case of protecting yourself from excessive ultraviolet radiation exposure, you should do the whole five-step SunSmart program of slip, slop, slap, seek and slide. So slip on a shirt, slap on sunscreen, slap on a hat, seek shade and slide on some sunglasses, because all of those five together reduce your excessive UV exposure. You shouldn't just be relying on sunscreen alone. And for that reason, for those people who really don't want to use nanoparticle sunscreen, they still should be using some form of sunscreen.
Yep.
If I can just raise the other issue about vitamin D and the importance of having vitamin D from sunlight. There have been many studies about how much vitamin D you can generate from exposure to different amounts of sunlight at different latitudes in Australia. And so in the middle of summer, between the hours of 10 a.m. in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you might only need 8 minutes of exposure to, you know, your arms and face to get enough vitamin D for your health and well-being. But in winter, in places like Melbourne, very cloudy, you might need half an hour or more exposure. So we need enough ultraviolet exposure to make vitamin D, but it's actually not that much when you think about it, compared to 10 minutes or 12 minutes being long enough to cause burns in some people in the middle of summer. I think we should be getting our vitamin D from sunlight, but a reasonable amount of sunlight. So all my comments relate to excessive UV exposure. People shouldn't be sunbaking, but you should get just sufficient sunlight to make enough vitamin D.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Kate.